Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're excited to be broadcasting live from Ed's Seafood Shed here on the Causeway on beautiful Mobile Bay. It is absolutely outstanding out there today. Get out here to Ed's and enjoy some of the great grub that they've got here, but we've got a great hour coming up for you. But we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly.
Don't distract.
Boy, that was that busted up somebody's head.
The little mice, nieces in there. Only
don't
have
put
so
me
many.
And Pete together. What's this? That's a catastrophe. Lord, yeah, okay. And Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade and all the other crazy things that I do. Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens and Lifelines Counseling Services, which is the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And ASBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important
to them.
Don't
mess up his hair.
So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Of course, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information on the topics. Later on this hour of SBN, we will talk with our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. He'll get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today, including some updates for our Agent Orange veterans, and our veterans or service members who might be suffering from COVID. Some interesting information there.
Yes.
And, of course, Tom's tirade on reviving Rambo. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be coming up in the second.
Yeah, watch it.
It's going to be coming up in the second segment of today's show. Hey, but first, it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by the man behind the curtain himself, Mr. Panini Pete from Ed's Seafood Shed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, so glad to be here.
Fantabulous,
glad to be here.
Pete.
Fantabulous.
Yes.
A word that can't be defined.
Tom has an entire dictionary full of words that only apply to Tom.
Yep. Have my own dictionary. Southern Boy Incorporated, they call it.
It works.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, you know, just a country boy trying to make a living.
Well, it's good to be here. Good to have you guys here. We appreciate you not only just what you do on a regular basis and representing the vets and all that good stuff, but coming out and joining the party at Ed's periodically.
The party.
I tell you what, it's nothing better than this, guys.
The party.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you've got great weather, and you've got a great crowd out here today.
Woo. I know. Look at this, all this action, man.
Yeah, it is full. Place is darn near full.
Dogs. It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
Good.
Sun's out.
Is where it's at.
Hey, you can get your suntan today.
I need a little suntan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were rosy. I was out there early.
We looked like we both got rigor mortis, I mean.
Hey, you gave it to me. I didn't give it to you.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Okay, well, as long as we don't pass on some COVID or something, man, you know what the hell.
There you go.
Yes,
hey, Pete,
exactly.
You know, I watched you know, some of the folks here who are enjoying lunch, and they're having these – wonderful looking drinks that are coming out. That are, I mean, the drinks look good, but the toppings look even better.
I'll tell you what, the rage around here, and I don't use that word lightly. The Bushwhackers are on fire at Ed's. All right, so right. Jamie, Casey have been concocting up some seasonal Bushwhackers, some signature Bushwhackers.
Right.
So we've taken what's already something that we love, and just just took it over the top. So we're currently celebrating Mardi Gras. The parade's got canceled, but Mardi Gras didn't get canceled.
Right,
we're celebrating
right.
the heck out of it. So we teamed up with Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream, and we're doing a King Cake Bushwhacker and a Moon Pie Bushwhacker.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bushwhacker.
Bushwhacker, so there's booze in there, Tom.
Ooh.
You might want to get the training wheels out.
Can you bring me a wheelbarrow?
Nickel wheel you down the ramp, and because they're good. But, man, they're selling literally like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And they're garnishing up real nice with all kinds of little extra treats, and they're just delicious. It's a refreshing drink. It's nice on the bay. It's a tradition down here. And the team has done such a great job of creating them.
Right.
It's like a liquid
right.
kitchen back there. They're making good recipes.
That's all Tom needs is a liquid
kitchen. Yeah, from now on, when I come over here, I'm on bubble wrap. And tell me to roll me out the front door.
Yeah, we'll put yours.
We can put that on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Here's Tom going.
Roll me out the front
we'll
door,
put
baby.
Yours in a sippy cup and just set you down there on the curb.
Yeah, I want one of them
alligator.
Big straws. What, about 10 feet long? You know, we'll put it in one of them number three wash tubs.
Yeah, it curls around.
Put it in number three wash tub, man. I don't want people running around having a
permanent brain freeze.
Mine's been froze anyway.
And you mentioned hotcakes.
Yeah.
You guys are still serving up some great breakfast.
Yes. If you haven't heard or you haven't been by, please, you have to come out and try the breakfast. We're doing
awesome.
Breakfast
yes.
on the Bay 7 days a week now.
That's cool.
So we started off weekends, and we're doing it 7 days a week now. It's really taken off, and it's a true Southern breakfast. You know, we're 8 to 10:30, but pancakes, omelets, biscuits and gravy, beignets, of course. Great Bloody Marys, mimosas, you know, eggs to order. Just really, really good Southern. Monster portions. You really should split everything you get. If you don't split it, you're going to need a nap.
Yeah, right.
You're going to need
right.
a nap.
Well, the bacon
fantastic.
Is not really, really thin. It looks like slab to
That's
me.
Right. Well, you know, thanks to you, I mean, we really, the fundraisers we did here
right.
in 2019 for Officer Tudor and for the
yeah.
fight or die
where troops,
we did some pancake breakfasts, and we figured out the power
Tom,
of
Tom,
that.
You can put
we
that
raised
in your
a
dictionary.
Lot of money. Yeah, I was stumbling, bumbling, rumbling there. But we realized that, you know, it was so nice that time of day. It's
it
so
was.
Beautiful on the bay, and people were not just supporting the cause, but we said, you know what? What if we thought of doing breakfast
sure.
here?
Sure.
And, you know, if you even mention that in the same area code as Nick DiMario,
right.
it's happening.
Oh, it is happening.
You walk in the next Saturday and go, what's going on? Or he goes, oh, you said breakfast, right?
Right,
it's
right.
Freaking,
yep.
It's going, man.
And
it
he's there.
Going. He gets it done.
Yeah, he's on.
Yes, I think he was a Marine in a former life. Right?
He'd make a good one.
He would.
Or Mafia. I'm
Blunt,
not sure.
Or Mafia or Marine. Maybe both.
Some kind of enforcer. All right, some kind of enforcer. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the breakfast is great. I'm glad you brought that up, Cal. Yeah, so come by for breakfast, everybody.
Absolutely. And that's 7 days a week now.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, it's the only breakfast on the causeway.
Period.
Period,
I mean, there's nowhere where you can go and get this level of food at this price point. And the view is impossible to get
that's
anywhere.
Right, right.
Period.
Yeah, you don't get this in downtown Mobile.
This is part of the reason we live here is the natural beauty.
Well, and you can also get that breakfast to go because you got folks that are moving
by.
And going back and forth for whether it's ball games or shopping or whatever it might be. They can stop in, grab it.
Right.
I mean, they can grab a few to-goes and take it home and feed the family.
And get the beignets to go,
Hip beignets, baby.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, now on the weekends, you can get the beignets Sunset Point, Squid Ink, Panini Pete's.
Oh, yeah?
Don't tell them at Panini Pete's. I didn't tell Cheryl yet. We're doing them everywhere.
Oh, right.
We are on the weekends.
Uh-oh.
I have released the Kraken.
Yeah. They find, all they have to do is listen to the program, and they'll find out what's going on.
Well, that's good. That's good.
There you go. Hey, I know that you have done a tremendous amount with the Mess Lords to support our military and veterans that are out there. Do you have anything that's coming up in the future?
I'll tell you, you know, we did a lot of videos this year, real good videos, and we're planning some more tours. We're trying to do a lot of local stuff now. I created a 501c3 for the Mess Lords now, so we're going to do some domestic fundraisers.
Good.
Food.
Good.
You know, you guys might even be able to help. I saw a veteran on the news the other day in Pensacola on Channel 3, and he was needing a wheelchair, electric wheelchair.
Right.
And I said, those
right.
are the kind of things that we like to kick out in, or when you get leads on that, let me know. We want to help. Because we are creating that charity branch, and I have the PR Foundation. So we're going to be looking forward to getting back on the road and serving up a fork full of freedom for these guys. It is the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life to bring morale and food.
Right.
I mean, I don't mind feeding you old vets, but, you know, the young bucks are fun, too.
Hey,
get out there.
Hey, man, we're still filling the void. What you talking about?
I'm talking to Tom. Oh, yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, he looked at me when he said that.
Yeah, Cal, you can be my son. What are you talking about?
There you go, right. Yeah, Tom's 95% of the scuttlebutt.
Yeah, I'm his granddaddy.
All right. Hey, Pete, we appreciate you coming over and giving us an update on what's going on here. Dad, hey, you got to get your butt to Ed, right?
Get your butt to Ed.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on reviving Rambo. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, unless his communist handlers call him off before he can
rumbling, bumbling, stumbling
his way up to and through the oath of office at some point on the 20th of January, the weekend at Biden's administration will officially begin. Of course, that is if he can remember to take the oath for president and not for the Senate, since he campaigned for both. One can only wonder what the over and under is in Vegas as to how many days he will actually serve, considering his addled state and his propensity to serve up rather milquetoast legislation during his 47 years of non-accomplishment while posing as a, quote, public servant. Something that will not sit well with his communist progressive puppet masters or supporters, who wasted no time in demanding that their radical agendas be proffered by Biden in return for supposedly elevating him to the office. I guess they truly believe that it was their votes and not the midnight suitcases, phantom ballots, and dubious algorithms that came together to misappropriate the election from Donald Trump. See how I did that? I very carefully slipped that in below the radar of big tech, the cancel culture, and media censors that don't want to allow 74 million plus the ability to perpetuate the notion of the steal. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to realize that there was more theft involved in the outcome of this election than in your average Houston Astros World Series run.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Regardless of how long Biden is able to hold onto his post before Kamala Harris decides that it's time for Joe to sleep with the fishes, one does not have to wonder much about what the Biden regime will look like. A cursory glance at the slate of cabinet appointments, posing career bureaucrats and Obama sycophants to high-level positions in the executive branch, and the shift in policy from America First to taking it from Biden clearly indicates that the nation will be forced into what will effectively be the third term of the communist community organizer, Barack Hussein Obama's race to mediocrity. Unfortunately for our veterans, this means a return to the lip service from the administration and the Department of Veterans Affairs that we suffered through for 8 years. Remember the wait list scandal and its legacy of dying veterans waiting for care? The lack of accountability at the VA as the government and union thugs were able to pilfer the agency at the peril of our veterans, and the never-ending backlog of claims at every level. Yep, as we have mentioned on air here on SBN, Biden's pick to head the VA, Dennis McDonough, who served as Barack Obama's chief of staff in Obama's second term during the period that included the scandal over wait times for medical appointments, worked closely with former VA secretary, just call me Bob, McDonough, during his failed tenure at the agency. In case you have forgotten, the waitlist appointment scandal was a systemic effort of deception and neglect within the agency tasked with caring for our nation's veterans. In its aftermath, McDonough defended the administration's action, claiming that the department was dealing with a dramatic expansion in terms of the healthcare system and providing education benefits. Of course, what this really means for our veterans is that the focus at the VA will shift from the veteran first policy of the Trump administration to the union first mentality with which we became all too familiar during the Obama years. It is an unfortunate truth, but remember that you heard it first here on SBN. Another reversion to the policies and attitudes of the Obama years is already on display. No nominating process needed. That is the portrayal of our military and veterans as mentally unstable men and women on the verge of going either A, Rambo, B, taxi driver, or C, Charlie Sheen. Ticking time bombs waiting to unleash a lethal cocktail of military experience and mental illness upon an unsuspecting nation. Its people, and aw shucks, politicians, simply trying to uphold and defend the Constitution. Okay, that last part was nothing but bullshit. Just saying, remember Big Sis Janet Napolitano, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security? Security under Obama? The very same Janet Napolitano that warned our law enforcement that our returning veterans posed a dangerous threat to society? In fact, it was in my very first tirade, the sniper who came in from the Colt, that I mentioned the overt portrayal of our veterans as whack jobs by Napolitano when she placed our veterans on a terrorist watch list early on in the first reign of Obama. Things went downhill from there, although the campaign went into more of a stealth mode when Defense Secretary Leon Love Shack Panetta disarmed all Marines before his visit to Camp Leatherneck to discuss the rash of green-on-blue attacks. And when Marines at the second Obama coronation were equally dishonored by having the bolts removed from their rifles as they paraded with the communist in chief. Of course, Biden wouldn't have to worry about Marines popping a cap in his ass too soon because they know that next up is Kamala Harris, kind of like out of the frying pan and into the fire for the nation. Now, you may be wondering exactly where his top cat hanging his hat on this theory. Well, one only has to look at reports from the government-run media in the wake of the Capitol insurgency to see that veterans and indeed our active duty military members are once again being portrayed as deranged anti-government whack jobs, whether they stepped on the Capitol grounds or if they merely had the gall to attend the rally. They were quick to report that the first casualty of the Second American Revolution was an Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt, who was a resident of California and who may very well have been in D.C. to protest the oppressive regime in California as much as she was to prevent the elevation of Biden to commander in sleep. Only of late has it been revealed that Biden served for 14 years, held a high-level security clearance, and was, get this, an Obama voter before she realized that she lived in a state that cared more about her toxic whiteness than her desperation over trying to salvage her post-military business that was ravaged by dictator Gavin Newsom's COVID shutdown. Countless others on the media's most wanted list from those fateful hours in D.C. have had their prior military service used against them to once again paint our veterans with the broad brush that will be needed to cancel military service as patriotic if your views do not align with those of the ruling elite. Do not doubt the top cat on this. The swamp is scared, and it's scared of you, the freedom-loving American patriot with the Constitution as your guide and divine providence as your armor and the ammo to back it up. Case in point, after announcing that National Guard troops deployed to D.C. will be carrying lethal force, officials from the incoming regime, under the guise of a concern over a, quote, inside attack, have ordered that the FBI vet all 25,000 troops that have been beckoned to D.C. to protect the swamp from we the people. Come on. These troops have obviously already been checked in order to enter the service, and yet the ruling class is so terrified of the voters that they want a second swipe at the apple cart, just in case there are any conservatives in that group. As we saw in the Obama regime, it is simply weaponizing the intelligence and law enforcement communities against those with whom you disagree politically. However, this is necessary for the incoming regime to create a schism between our veterans, the military, and the general populace once again in order to generate fear amongst the civilian world of an armed revolt against the progressive push to communism. In doing so, it becomes easier to use the whack job mental illness card against those patriots who have honorably served and continue to fight for the future freedom of this nation. They know that if they are successful in disenfranchising and disarming this segment of the population, then the remainder of the sheeple will be all too easy to enslave. Just remember, you heard it here first. So keep your head high and your powder dry. You are not alone. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, man? Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. You know, Tom, a lot of good information there in the tirade.
It is what it is, brother. And, you know, and just don't forget, keep your powder dry.
Well, yeah, but there's, you know, it's startling to me that you don't have more of an outcry from some of the veteran service organizations.
Where they're at.
They're not saying, wait a minute. Or even the VA itself.
Right.
You know, folks go, wait, you know, this is insane.
Yep.
You know, you've gone so far, and at least from all indications are that, you know, Biden did make it up to the dais, and he did get inaugurated without fanfare.
Right.
You know,
there
was really, there was nothing because
there was
it was
nothing.
Just a bunch of flags that were there watching him.
Yeah.
But they still had to go through this kabuki theater of making our service members. Now, these are the National Guard troops
right.
that were beckoned from throughout this nation, Tom.
Right. Right.
And yet they want to go through. And I think after all that, I think there were 12 or 15 that they removed from their
12 out of 25,000. What kind of percentage factor is that?
Well, I don't even care about the percentage, but not because of anything they did, but because of maybe some things that they had posted
right.
along the
right.
way.
Well, they don't have any freedom. We don't have any freedom anymore.
Well, I mean, well, you know, let's say you take an oath to defend the Constitution,
right.
but if you want to go out and post about defending the Constitution, they're going to remove you.
Right. Well, you know, look, a lot of, and most of these troops have all been overseas. You
know,
they've been in Iraq, they've been in Afghanistan, they've been in Syria, and they've been all over the country over there defending this country. And now, they come up here just because they came to D.C.
It's a slap in the face to everybody who's on active duty and to our veterans as well. But then, like I said, you heard it here. Just wait to see how the whole thing plays out.
Amen, brother.
But anyway.
Keep your powder dry.
Yep. Hey, on the other side of the break, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly from the law firm of Gardenberg & Kimmerly, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
But only three, when the Green Beret trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And, you know, some people might call this work, Tom, but sitting here at Ed's, looking out on the beautiful bay, you can see the battleship from here, beautiful day. And great food here at Ed's.
On the back patio, on the back porch out there, and get me one of those, one of those modified milkshakes that they've got here, and maybe pulling my shirt off, get a little sun or something, you know.
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe the modified milkshake.
Well, you can take a couple of those modified milkshakes, and you don't really care.
Yeah, but they'd have to issue sunglasses to everybody else that came out.
The dark ones, real dark ones.
Yeah, like the ones
the face shields with, you know, that are blacked out, look like a welding helmet.
Anyway, Tom, before folks, you know,
before we get thrown out of here,
before folks are running from that mental image, would you like to thank the sponsor?
Hey, baby, I'm still alive. What you talking about?
Yeah.
But, you know, all that being said,
in
your face radio, we want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, which has the Veterans 211 hotline.
Absolutely. And it's always a privilege to be joined on SBN by our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. Colin, hey, welcome back to SBN. Thank you again for all that you do and your service to our veterans.
Thank you so much. It's been a while since I've been with y'all, so it's great to be here this afternoon.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on board, sir. You do so much for our vets and all of our senior citizens, and we appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Well, and although it's been a while since you've been here, we've had some really good folks, you know, in terms of staff.
Yes, great.
I have a very talented staff.
Well, certainly do.
I'm glad they can come on and explain some of the things that we're doing at Gardberg, Kimberly, some of the things that they are doing with me to help our veterans.
Outstanding. And you're always, you know, you guys are always staying ahead of the curve in terms of what's coming down the pike for our veterans, so to speak.
Right.
And I know that you've got some information about Agent Orange exposure.
Right. So 2021 started off with a good thing for veterans, because what happened was the Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which added three conditions to the list of Agent Orange exposure presumptive conditions. So veterans who can prove that they were exposed to the Agent Orange, who have suffered from bladder cancer issues, from hypothyroidism, and from Parkinson-like syndrome or symptoms, can now be compensated by the VA for those conditions. So I think that's a positive thing.
That's an awesome addition. Yeah.
Right. Especially the bladder cancer and then
right.
the Parkinson's, which is the Parkinson-like syndromes, not necessarily Parkinson's. When I saw that, and we talked about that, you know, we've represented some veterans who have the tremors and the difficulties that are normally related to Parkinson's but don't have the diagnosis. And they will be denied by the VA for lack of the diagnosis. This is going to cover that for them. So
okay.
I'm very excited about that.
Well, and there are a couple of things that you mentioned there. One is exposure to Agent Orange.
Correct.
So what does a veteran have to do to prove that part of it?
Right. So just like the other cases, the diabetes or the heart conditions or the prostate cancer, they have to prove that they were exposed to the Agent Orange under the VA regulations. Normally we know that means service in Vietnam or the waters off Vietnam now, the Blue Water Navy stuff. There are a few other instances where the VA does recognize presumption. Now, those are pretty case specific. So I would just, you know, say that you would contact someone, a representative at our firm or somewhere, and see if they comp. But whenever in doubt, everybody knows my mantra is go ahead and file.
Right,
if
right.
If you think you're covered, go ahead and file. Rather have them deny it and then look at it that way than never file at all.
Well, yeah, but then there's a part of that they really need to understand, and that is that if later on, like this has come down the pike and now is accepted as one of the problems that comes from the Agent Orange, then if they do file at a later date, they come back, then that date that you originally filed,
right?
Doesn't it in most occasions work back to that date?
It can, under what's called the Niemer Doctrine, which is a case that was settled many years ago that talked about how far back the VA would have to pay for
right,
Agent Orange
right.
conditions. We have veterans that file and that filed years ago and just
right.
filed saying, I'm filing for my Agent Orange. Well, you know, they didn't list any condition on that.
Right.
They didn't know what was related to Agent Orange and what was not. So sometimes you can go back and get an earlier effective date based on when they filed and when they were diagnosed.
Right,
so
right.
Those are very important and very – you really have to look at those and review those cases closely just to know how far back you want to pick the date.
Well, look at how long it took them to recognize PTSD rather than shell shock.
Right.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, here we go. Same. We have the same thing involved here.
One of the things the Act did not cover was the hypertension or high blood pressure. But I do think that in the future that's potentially possible that will be considered one of the presumptive conditions. It's not quite there yet. So I have veterans that we represent or filed for the hypertension, and
right.
I recommend if you have hypertension well, and you
file for it.
File for it,
right, okay. Well,
now, they've added these conditions. What if you have someone who, a veteran who is already receiving benefits because of Agent Orange, and they may have some of these other issues? Do they need to go back and and ask, I guess, for an increase? Is that where
they need to file? Like, let's say they already have a condition, like, just to use an example, diabetes. They filed for diabetes, they're getting their diabetes, and now they have bladder cancer, unfortunately. Well, that's a whole separate, it's going to be a whole separately rated condition, bladder cancer as opposed to diabetes. So you need to file for all of it, as well as any secondary issues that you think are related to any of the Agent Orange conditions.
Okay. So just because, you were exposed, they have already said, the VA said, yeah, we know you were exposed, it's presumptive for XYZ, but then if you go in and say, well, I now have bladder cancer, that's not an addition to what they've already filed. This is a brand new.
Right. It's a brand new.
So you're kind of starting from scratch, but at least the VA has already said, yeah, we know you were exposed.
Oh, yeah.
And this is presumptive. So
right. That's a big important part.
Right. That's very important. Right.
Yeah. Now, we got a couple of minutes before the break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Through the great.
Yes.
Another story that came out, and this is one of those that could affect a number of our veterans, but the Army is looking at reviewing discharges for possible upgrades based on certain criteria. What information do you have there, and where should people go? What action should they take?
I want people to be aware of this. So we did come across this. This is the result of a settlement on a lawsuit that was filed, I think, up in Connecticut, and it was filed by two soldiers. One was in the Army, I think, and one was in the National Guard. And they had some problems in service, either military sexual trauma, PTSD, behavioral changes. They ended up getting less than honorable discharges.
Bad paper.
So now, as a result of the settlement, when they file for discharge upgrades, the Army is going to have to do different things and look at these cases a little bit harder. It's going to be on a case-by-case basis. Unfortunately, it's a little premature for me to tell you exactly how you can file for those yet, because the full settlement isn't going to be reached until March of this year, March of 2021.
Okay. So this is something that someone would have to be proactive about in terms of requesting that review. It's not something that the Army is going to do on a blanket?
That's my understanding. Yes,
okay.
Sir. And it's going to be on a case-by-case basis, the way they're going to review them. So it's not an automatic, but definitely if you got bad paper because of behavioral changes in all these areas, I would definitely recommend that you contact the board. And they're going to have different ways to do that now, apparently, as a result of the settlement. It's supposed to make it a little bit easier to get it in front of the boards and for the veterans to handle them. So we'll just have to see how that shakes
out. Well, of course, it's good news, because you have situations here where you may have a veteran that was discharged maybe because of behavior problems from PTSD.
Right.
They get a bad paper discharge, then they can't get into the VA to get treated for the PTSD.
Right.
Absolutely.
Big deal.
Good. All right. Hey, for more information, you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more with our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit. Well, one of us is older than the other.
One of us is older than dirt.
Well, yeah. You went in, your serial number was 1.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 1. What even, 01? It was 1.
But, yeah, a couple
I was at Ton Tavern.
Just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, again, we're honored to be speaking with our legal Colin Kimmerly from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Colin, we had a couple of great topics there prior to the break. But, of course, one of the things that we're dealing with, as a nation, really, a nation as the world, is COVID. And, of course, our military service members have not been immune from that in any way, shape, or form. And this is a story that rolled out a couple of weeks ago, but it's good news to a certain extent when you're talking with troops who may have contracted COVID and the repercussions of it.
Correct. So what we found out is in one of the acts that was passed by Congress that they have made COVID, a diagnosis of COVID, on active duty, a presumptive illness, so that if you get discharged and you have ongoing or lingering effects of the COVID, then you'll be able to file for VA benefits, and it will be considered presumptive.
Okay. So let's unpack that just a little bit, okay? So if you contract COVID while you're on duty... Now, this is, and it goes into a couple of instances here within the story,
right.
But you would need to be on active duty. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, let's say, if you're in the reserves, but you're not activated, that would apply.
Correct. It says on active duty for more than 48 hours at one time and develop the illness during service or within 14 days after a qualifying period of duty.
Okay, so all the National Guard troops that they've sent into D.C., if one of them were to, at this point, contract COVID even in the next 14 days, this would apply?
It seems like it would. National Guardmen on training duty under Title 10 would be eligible, yes.
Right. I was throwing some questions at you with this, because in a lot of instances, if a service member has a disability, so a lot of times they may be discharged because of whatever that is. They'll get a medical discharge. In this instance, that may not necessarily apply. It's just if they've contracted COVID while they're in and then they had residual problems with it.
Correct. So the way I would look at that was if they had residual problems once they or exited service, they would file for VA compensation. They would list all the residual problems, whatever those would be, whether it's a heart issue, whether it's a lung issue, or any other issue. Just list them all, and I think you establish that you had a service medical record or a medical record that established a diagnosis during the qualifying period, and then have them go through each additional condition, and they would all be rated.
Okay. So that's for the service member themselves. This also applies to survivors.
Correct.
So how would that work?
So if we first, unfortunately, deal with people that would die during active service, that clearly would be what we call a dependency and indemnity case. Clearly the survivor, most often we think of a spouse, would be eligible for benefits based on the death during service. After that, if they... have a diagnosis in service, and then they exit service, and they get compensated, or even if they don't, but they have residuals that cause them to pass away. That's another issue. That's another instance where the survivor would file for a DIC benefit on their own to get paid.
Okay.
It's going to make it easier for the survivor, surviving spouse or surviving dependent, whatever, to qualify for the DIC payment.
Okay. As of this story, there were only 2 active duty service members who had died from COVID. But of course, as the numbers grow, and you've got National Guard troops that are going all over the nation now, who knows exactly where that story will
right.
hit.
And of course, none of us know the long term effects or what's going to happen due to the disease. So
right.
we could be talking things that go on, in years to come, and people that have it while they're active right now and then have residuals later and then pass away in years to come.
Right. And of course, it is something, like you said, we're learning what those residual effects of something like this, whether it's heart or lungs or, I've talked with people that literally weeks, months afterward, they still have not recovered,
right.
I guess you would say, the stamina that
Hoorah.
Would,
yeah. Yes.
Well,
I'm here.
You know, whereas going out to the mailbox is overexerting themselves.
So we've got a lot of people that's having that problem. I know that my fatigue factor is still there, and also my pulmonary doctors had already diagnosed me with having a lot of scar tissue on my lungs from this. They said that's the only thing that it could be. So, and I didn't have it before. So, what can we say?
So, again, file early. If you're like voting in Chicago, file early and often.
Right.
But go ahead and file, especially now that this is presumptive. One of the things, again, this is COVID related to an extent, but it's that shift going more towards virtual hearings for the veterans. And I know your firm has really been leading the way with that.
We're doing a lot of virtual hearings now. And I really, you know, we talk about the bureaucracy at the VA and a lot of the problems that the VA has. But I really want to say that I think they've stepped up on the virtual hearing. We are doing more virtual hearings. It used to be in the old days, as a lot of my clients would know, we would go up to Montgomery or we'd go to Jackson or New Orleans or wherever to have the hearings at the hearing offices. Well, now, with virtual hearing, you can basically sit at this table with your phone and you can do a three-way virtual hearing with me, the vet could be at their house, whether that's here, whether that's in California, it doesn't really matter, and the judge is in Washington. The VA has stepped up on that. We now have the ability to have three-way conversations that way, and we're able to do that, and they are setting them. And, you know, as long as you have to have a certain phone.
Right. You can't do it with a flip phone.
No. It has to be and I can't remember the exact one. It's got to be like I call it an iPhone 6.
Right,
or better.
Right.
It's the capability on your phone to do it. You can do it that way.
Well, all that being said now, though, Colin, I'm understanding from some of your attorneys there that, you know, you might even be doubling in the amount of cases that you've actually been able to hear. You know, over a period of time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, better than tracking up to Montgomery and doing one or two hearings a day.
Right.
We can schedule six a day at the office. So, you know.
Awesome. So, that is so good.
You know, it moves those cases along right. Where we're able to get in front of. Now, this is at the Board of Veterans Appeals.
Right.
So it's at the board level. So we're dealing with cases in front of the judges. So, but I'm very pleased with it. And, you know, you don't always hear me say that.
No, I know. Not
but
when,
I am.
Not when we're dealing with the VA.
They're good people at the VA. I'm not saying that.
Oh, no, but, yeah. You know, we do have some good people.
That's a good thing. The virtual hearings are fantastic.
And yeah. So, Colin, do you see this as something that even once COVID abates, that this is something that they will continue to do?
Yes. Because it gives them the ability to do the hearings, more hearings. And it gives them the ability to turn them out quicker.
Right.
Believe it or not, they do want to get their decisions out. They always do. But it's just a question of how they can get it.
Right. And we got about a minute left. But would this affect maybe something like C&P exams? Are they doing any of those virtually? Because I know they're doing so much of these telehealth kind of appointments. Are you seeing anything that's moving in that direction?
Not in that. I haven't seen that.
So they're still
going
to
They were going back for a while to do an in-person, and now I think they've cut back on that for right now. But my expectation is eventually they'll get back to doing in-person.
Okay. I didn't realize that they cut back on those in-person.
My understanding is that right now they've cut back a little because of the rise in cases at the moment. But,
okay.
You know, I would expect that they would get back to that as soon as possible.
Great. Well, hey, you know, Colin, again, we always appreciate everything that you do for our veterans and their families. Where can folks go for more information, or how should they contact you?
Absolutely. They can contact us always through the website, which is www.gardberglaw.com. Our phone number here is 251-343-1111. We'd love to talk to everybody, all of our veterans. If you have any questions, please call us. We'll try to give you the best answer we can.
Outstanding. Well, again, Colin, thank you so much for being with us, and enjoy some great food.
Yeah.
Wait, one more thing.
It was great.
You said something a while ago about the Army will review those thousands of discharges. Wouldn't that include the Marines and Navy and all the other branches?
No, that case is limited to the Army at the moment.
Army, period. Woo.
That case is the
But now, if they ever have one of those cases that get a decision on, won't that override that? We can then apply some of the Marine cases, whatever?
I don't know, Tom.
We hope.
Hey, Tom, you know, all of us Marines are nuts.
Oh, well, damn it. Okay.
Anyway, hey, that's going to bring us to the close of today's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program. We thank you for joining us. Hey, great to be here at Ed's.
Hoorah.
There you go. And, again, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Keep your powder dry.